Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today, we are actually starting something new, and that is that I want to thank Autumn Mail, who is sponsoring this week's learning, for the birthday of Lynn Mail, and many happy returns to Lynn. Just this last weekend, on October 6th, happy birthday, and many more happy and healthy years for you and the entire Mishpacha. So let's start learning today. Our perek today is perek Chof Ches in Sefer Yirmiyahu, 28th chapter, and it is a action-packed perek. Oh boy, there's a lot going on over here. So let's take a look. It's rather short, but there's a lot going on over here. We're told that the dating is Bereishis Mamleches Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda. It's the first year or the beginning of the reign of Tzidkiyahu, but it's on the Bashana HaRevi'is, Bachodesh HaChamishi, in the fourth year, in the fifth month. So it's a little bit of an ambiguous dating. It's the beginning of his rule at the fourth year. We have to think about that for a second. But in the meantime, what happens during this time? We have a fellow whose name is Hanania ben Azur, who is called a Navi. Throughout the parak, he is given the appellation prophet. He comes from Givon. Givon, of course, is the area of those people who tricked the Jews upon entering the land and gained their own protection from the Jews after deceiving their identity. We're going to see that there's a lot of deception involved in what he's saying as well. And he comes in front of the house of Hashem, in front of the Beis HaMikdash, in front of the Kohanim, and he gives a prophecy. And he says this very powerful prophecy, Shavarti es ol melech Bavel. I have broken the yoke of Bavel. Obviously, the word yoke is important because that was just the prophecy that Yirmiyahu had used. He'd used the yokes as representation, giving it to all these kings to show them that they should subjugate themselves to Babel. He says, no worries, because you know what? In 2 years' time, I'm going to return all the lost Kalim, all the exiled vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, which Nebuchadnezzar took. And I'm going to bring back Yechoniah, the king, and I'm going to bring back all the people who were exiled. In other words, says Hananiah, the end is coming, but we're going to see restitution, we're going to see redemption coming right now. Just before going further, before Yirmiyahu's response, just to appreciate when did this event actually take place. The Malbim says that it goes back to the previous perek. It's really during the reign of Yehoiakim, but Tzidkiyah was already acting as the Babylonian official, and so it's given to him and then. Whereas most of the Mefarshim say, no, it was in the reign of Tzidkiyah. Bereishis means during the beginning years of his rule, and it's in the fourth year of his rule. Remember, Tzidkiyah reigns for 11 years. And the Radak adds in a little wrinkle, and that is that why is it going on over here? Is because actually in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu is the first year of the Shemitah cycle. So the Shemitah cycle is very central to the Golus, to the exile theme, in the sense that the Golus is going to come on the Motzei Chag HaShemitah. Rashi tells us in Parshas Bechukosai that with the fact that we did not look after the land was why the land rejected us after that amount of Shemitahs that we negated. And so it's sort of the fourth year of his king cycle, but it's the first year of the Shemitah cycle, which is very central to this. It is also in the month of Av. This is in the Chodesh HaChamishi, which of course is, ironic, is referring to the upcoming destruction. So this is the context. So what happens? So Yirmiyahu comes up to him and he says to Hananiah, he says, Amen, Kein Yase Hashem, Yokeim Hashem es Tvorecha. Please, I wish Hashem would establish your words and allow this to happen. Yirmiyahu was saying, halavai Gbavel would be ended. Halavai this would all take place. However, listen to what I'm going to tell you, because you know what he says? This is false. Unfortunately, there's going to be war. There's going to be evil. There's going to be plagues and pestilence. It's easy for a prophet to say, to talk about peace. When a person testifies, when a Navi testifies about something good that's going to happen, it can only be ratified when that Navua arrives, that Hashem really sent him. And upon this response, what Hananiah does is he takes the yoke that Yirmiyahu has been wearing. Yirmiyahu has been wearing this yoke as a sign of their servitude to Bavel and the need to enslave themselves to Bavel, and he breaks it. And he says, this yoke has been broken, that's how Hashem will return you to your own sovereignty. And Yirmiyahu walks off. Yirmiyahu does not respond. The end of the parak contains the description as Yirmiyahu does return. He comes back to Hananiah, and he now gives the following prophecy. He says, the Moitos eitz, Asher Shavarta, you broke these wooden yokes while I'm making Moitos Barzel. I'm making iron yokes. And this is what Hashem says, I'm going to place these iron yokes on you, and you're going to serve the Babylonians. And then Yirmiyahu turns to Hananiah and he says, You've been sent, and you pretend that you're a prophet, but you're really a false prophet. And therefore, I'm going to tell you that you're going to die before the year is up. And that's what happened. Hananiah dies in the, at the beginning of the seventh month. And that's the end of the perek. Very dramatic perek. You can imagine sort of the tension in the air. He has the prophet who's saying the good things are about to happen. Yirmiyahu is saying you're wrong. A lot going on here. A few things to consider. Was this fellow, Hananiah ben Azur, really a false prophet? We need to say, where did he pull his ideas from? Did he just, you know, he was just a political pundit. He just wanted to, you know, gain popularity. What was behind him? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Peites Amud Aleph tells us a fascinating thing. And that is, the Gemara describes Hananiah as a person who's hamisnabe mashaloi ne'emar loi. He was giving a prophecy which wasn't the prophecy to him, but he sort of extrapolated. What actually happened? So the Gemara describes that, as we see in Yirmiyahu Mem Tes, in a few weeks' time we're going to get to the 49th chapter, Yirmiyahu was prophesying about the destruction of a kingdom called Elam. Elam, in fact, was an ally to Babel, and Yirmiyahu talks about the imminent destruction of Elam. So Hananiah overheard that prophecy, and he said, hey, you know what? Elam is an ally, so certainly Hashem will be destroying Babel. So off he went, and he went to another marketplace. It got into his soapbox, and started talking about the destruction of Babel. And the Gemara describes how such an interpretation was valid. But the point is that he was sort of extrapolating in a very hopeful but unfortunately incorrect way, and then spend the rest of the time defending that. Why was Yirmiyahu saying Amen? So it could be like sort of like, you know, exasperated, like Halavai, Amen, I wish it would come true. But you do see something very interesting about Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu does not want destruction. He does not want doom. He does not want the end of the road. He wishes this could be the other answer. You see into Yirmiyahu's heart here. At the same time, Rashi quotes him, Moira Tzedek, who says that really Yirmiyahu was a little incorrect in doing this. Because by doing this, even though he was showing what his exasperation, he was flattering this fellow called Hananiah. Meaning he was ultimately saying, you know, Hananiah, halavai, what you're saying is true, but he's giving him credence. And the Gemara says that if a person flatters a person, he's going to fall into the hands of their child or their grandchild. And so it was. Later on, we'll see that Yirmiyahu is going to be thrown into a pit to die. Hashem is going to save him, but by the grandson of Hananiah himself. So it's going to be complicated to even small comments Yirmiyahu has to be careful of. There's an interesting, very important aspect of prophecy which Yirmiyahu is teaching us over here. And that is when he turned to Hananiah and he responds to him, he says that if you tell about peace, your prophecy needs to come true to show that you're a prophet. So the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah actually tells us in Perek Yud a very important principle, which most of the Rishonim agree to. The Malbim actually has a disagreement, but most of the Mefarshim, the earlier Mefarshim, agree to this principle, and that is that when a Navi says something bad is going to happen, that can change. Case in point, Nineveh. Yonah comes to Nineveh and he says, this city is going to be destroyed. They do Teshuvah. What happens? Ultimately, it's not destroyed. So that means to say that there's possibility and flexibility based on Teshuvah to change a bad prophecy. But a good prophecy, if a prophet's really true, the good prophecy has to come. There's no way to change that. Once it's been said, it will happen. So and how does the Rambam know this? He says he quotes our parak in Yirmiyahu. Because as Yirmiyahu said to Hananiah, you're giving a good prophecy. If you're giving a good prophecy, the only way for you to be proved as a good prophet is for it to happen. But I'm telling you about the doom. I wish what I was saying could be changed. But you, now you're out. You're out on a limb. Is it going to really happen? Because your whole credence, your whole resume is on the line at this point in time. And it's interesting to notice that why is that Hananiah needed to take the yoke off Yirmiyahu and break it? So the Rinas Yitzchak of Sorotskin on his Pirushan Tanakh says a very fascinating insight, and that is that, as we know, we've seen this numerous times already now, is that when you make a prophecy and you use a specific physical agent or action, it crystallizes that prophecy in an irretractable way. So like, for instance, when Avram Avinu, as the Ramban says at the beginning of Alech Lecha, moves down to Egypt, he creates that space and that cycle in the future that Bnei Yisrael are going to go down to Egypt. And so what you see over here is an interesting thing, is that what Hananiah is trying to do is he's trying to say, well, you use this yoke to sort of crystallize this prophecy of doom, I'm going to break it, I'm going to try to reverse it. Unfortunately, that's not really the way it works, and he was proven wrong. At the very end of this parak, it's important to notice just two very, very succinct points. One is that if you look at the time that Hananiah actually does die, he dies in the seventh month. Seventh month is technically Tishrei. Tishrei is actually the beginning of the next year. So did he really die in the year? So the Chida, many of the Forshim point out that what actually happened is that he died on Erev Rosh Hashanah. But Hananiah was so much trying to prove that Yirmiyahu was not correct that he told his family not to bury him until the day after Rosh Hashanah, to show that what Yirmiyahu's prophecy wasn't correct. But in fact, he did die at the time that Yirmiyahu did tell him. That's how far it goes, how self-deceiving a person can be, even through their own death and burial. And the last thing that we should note is that the Abarbanel points out that this whole last section of Yirmiyahu coming back and telling him about the Moitos Barzel, these iron yokes, and finally this curse about the death of Hananiah. The death of Hananiah was actually not a prophecy. That was Yirmiyahu's own statement. And in fact, the Abarbanel likens it to when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Korach and says, "Im bria yivra Hashem," that Hashem, if you die normally, then I'm not a prophet. But if you die in an unnatural way, that's going to show that Hashem sent me. And in fact, Hashem did do that. Hashem opened up the earth to swallow Korach. He said, in the same vein over here, Yirmiyahu was not told to tell Hananiah he would die. This is Yirmiyahu's own volition to prove his truth as a prophet. And in fact, Hashem did kill him in such a way based on Yirmiyahu's words. In the meantime, we can appreciate just this, the difficulty Yirmiyahu has to go through, but it gives a little bit of context. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.